Grace, mercy, and peace to you, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few days ago at dinner, Tavin announced to me, "Daddy, I wish I was a dog." Tavin is 5. The whole "Daddy, I wish I was" thing is not uncommon. Just a couple days ago on Halloween, he told me that he wished he was a baby. "Gavin, why do you want to be a baby?" This took place right after he'd been scared by something. He said, "Because then I wouldn't know enough to be scared." He oftentimes will tell me, "I want to be a grown-up." "Why do you want to be a grown-up?" "Because then I can make the rules." You might be able to tell that. Told me he wants to be a white blood cell. I said, "Why?" He said, "Daddy, so I can make you better." Wants to be a stegosaurus so he can fight bad guys, because those go together. A bird so he can fly. What was the other one? Oh, Batman. Wants to be Batman, because, you know, Batman. Who wouldn't want to be Batman, really? "Daddy, I wish I was a dog." "Okay, I'll shoot." "Why?" "Because then I would have better ears." "Okay. Why do you want better ears?" "Because then I could hear God better." Interesting. The story that we picked up today of Elijah, it comes shortly after a contest between Elijah as the prophet of God and a group of other priests who are trying to be the priests and prophets of a false god known as Baal. To get you up to speed, if you don't remember the story, many, if not most, of the Israelites have switched their allegiance to Baal, are worshiping him. And it finally comes down to a contest between Elijah and these other priests, where both groups build altars of wood, well, altars of stone with wood on them. And they call down fire from heaven to burn the altars, to burn the sacrifices that are placed on them. The Baal one, nothing happens. The God one, Elijah, has a group of servants pour buckets of water over the altar to soak it completely wet and build a trench around it so that the water runs into the trench and form a moat. And we're told that this fire from heaven comes down and it destroys the altar and burns up the sacrifice and burns up all of the water. And Elijah wins. God wins. And as a result, the other prophets, the other priests of Baal are put to death. And this does not go over well with the queen of the land, who sends for Elijah's death. That is where we find ourselves today. Elijah fleeing for his life. And we were told that there was a great wind. A great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, we are told. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Before this, the experience Elijah had just had of God was of this fire bursting from heaven and destroying the altar, consuming everything, which you have to figure was not utter silence. I'm thinking there was at least a little bit of sound coming with that, and yet here we have sheer silence. You may be more familiar with the King James translation or similar, where it talks about the still small voice of God. In fact, actually, this translation in your pew, which is not King James, it uses that same translation. With all due respect, that's not a very good translation of the Hebrew. It tells us that it is utter silence. In other words, there's nothing that Tavin's doggy ears would do to help hear. Because there's nothing to hear right there. A little bit ago, for some reason that seems so perfect, the wrong reading was up on the projector. It's the story of Moses. That's so fitting because the story of Moses and the story of Elijah are just total parallels to one another. Moses beat Pharaoh and Pharaoh and Egypt's gods, right? Everybody say, right, Pastor Chris. Elijah beats Baal and his prophets. Pharaoh pursues Moses. Jezebel pursues Elijah. Moses heads into the wilderness. Elijah does the same. Moses asks to die. Very dramatically, too. Very melodramatically, he asks to die. Elijah does the same thing. An angel provides to Moses and Elijah in the wilderness, giving food and drink. We're told today that Elijah travels to Mount Horeb. We know that Moses travels to Mount Sinai, and most people think they are the same thing, the same mountain. At that mountain, both Moses and Elijah complain about the unfaithful Israelites, that they are the only one who has remained faithful. Elijah made a big deal about that in the reading today. Only I am left, God. It's down to me. Everyone else is junk. Just me, God. Both Moses and Elijah did that. Moses and Elijah both wait in a cave for God to appear. In the Hebrew, it actually says that Elijah waited in the cave, which kind of implies that it's the special cave that Moses hung out in. And then God passes by in glory before both. There's parallel after parallel after parallel between the story of Moses and the story of Elijah, with one notable exception, one teeny tiny notable exception. God didn't send Elijah on this journey. Elijah left on his own accord. Elijah had a call from God. He had a thing to do, so to speak, as the prophet. He was responsible for speaking God's truth to the people. That's what the word prophet really means. Speaking God's truth to the people, responsible for standing up to the king and queen if necessary, eventually appointing the new ones, appointing and anointing his successor. He had things to do at home. But he was scared. He was scared of what he had been threatened with, and as a way of trying to find a solution for that, he kind of seems to want his own little Moses experience. You ever heard the word theophany? It's a fancy word. It means an appearance of God. Experiencing God up close and personal. He wants a theophany. He wants his own little Moses experience. He goes on this journey, and look, step by step, he follows in Moses' footsteps, even though he wasn't told to go do that. Which, when you think about that, it makes all the more sense that the first thing God says to him when he shows up finally is, "Why are you here?" And he says, "Well, because I'm the only faithful one left. Only I, God. Only I have stood up for you. The people of Israel are unfaithful. It's down to me. I am your beloved servant." That's great. Why are you here? I didn't tell you to leave. I didn't tell you to take this grand tour, to seek out some sort of mystical mountaintop experience. You know what you're supposed to do, Elijah. Go. Return to Damascus. Return through the wilderness. Go and do as you were already told to do. Anoint the next king. Anoint the next prophet. Speak my truth. Do your job. Why are you here? Why did you go through all of this? Go. Go back. Wouldn't it be nice if we always got a big, splashy God event in life? I hear that from people all the time. I'm trying to hear God's voice in my life. I wish I knew what God was telling me to do. Wish I knew where I was being called. I just wish I knew what was going on. great if we all got our own little burning bush. You know, anytime there was something pressing in your life, you just walked up that day and you went outside and you're like, whoa, the hedge is on fire.
Chris.
Yes, hedge. It's God. Here's what you should do next. That'd be cool. It'd be very convenient. Or maybe if there was always this thunderbolt of lightning or this fiery inferno coming down from heaven, or even just one angel with one trumpet. Wouldn't that be great? If every time we felt trouble, God would just swoop in and say, bam! Here's your big God moment. Here's your big theophany. Here's your experience of me up close and personal telling you exactly what to do. It would seemingly simplify our life, wouldn't it? As people of faith, as followers of God, as Christians. Here's the thing. Just like Elijah, we don't need a mountaintop experience. You may recall we were given a hilltop experience. A hill with three crosses and an empty tomb. We were given Christ. We were given a simple commandment, a simple plan. We already know what God expects from us. We already know what God wants for us. Go into the world making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always. And what has he commanded? The greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And the second is like that: love your neighbor as yourself. Or as Micah tells us, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. To paraphrase what God said to Elijah, we just need to do our job. That hasn't changed. That has not changed in the past 2,000 years, and it will not change in the next 20,000. You know what's really cool? We don't need the ears of a canine to hear that. Amen.